phone stays on. Prayers.
Okay, so I can project because I was a theater major in college. You brood of vipers! Even now the axe is lying at the root of the trees. He will gather his wheat into the granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. Don't you just love John the Baptizer? He just has a way with words. He has to give you that warm, pleasant feeling inside. Honestly, I actually think John is terribly misunderstood. Especially when we get this reading as our first impression of him. While name-calling and threats leave a lasting impression, there's a much bigger point to this episode and the person of John than just name-calling and threats. So what do you say we start this new liturgical year by looking at the gospel lesson in a new way? The new year is often used as a moment to start with a refresh, so that makes John the Baptizer's story most appropriate. In the reading for today, we have two things to consider: who John is and what John does. You see, John's approach to living into his faith is unique, in that more than anyone else, he has fully immersed himself into his faith relationship with God. He's done this to such a degree that everything about him speaks of his deep and committed relationship with God, right down to what he wears and what he eats. The gospel describes John as wearing clothing made from camel hair and a leather belt tied around his waist. He eats locusts and wild honey. If that sounds odd, it's supposed to. Matthew includes these details in the description because it indicates something important to the character of John. For John, even his apparel and his diet are fully integrated into the role that he's claimed. Get this, apparel, because the clothes make the man. In the second book of Kings, we see where John gets his fashion sense. A man named Ahaziah fell through some lattice work and was very seriously injured. His injuries were so bad, he wondered if he'd ever recover. So he sends a messenger to the god of Akron, a false god. But the messenger is intercepted by the prophet Elijah, who was angered that someone would consult a false god instead of the true god. So Elijah sent the message back to Ahaziah and said, "You're never going to get better. In fact, you will die from your injuries." Ahaziah was so shocked at such a harsh response to his genuine concern, he asked the messenger to describe the person who sent this response. The messenger said he wore a garment of hair and a leather belt around his waist. Ahaziah said, "That's the prophet Elijah." This is what we mean when we say fashion forward. There's more. Diet, because you are what you eat. In the book of Ezekiel, the Lord speaks to Ezekiel about the people to whom Ezekiel has been sent. God says, "Do not rebel like that rebellious people. Open your mouth and eat what I give you." So Ezekiel sees his hand stretched out to him. The Lord said, "Eat this scroll I am giving you and fill your stomach with it." Ezekiel opened his mouth, ate the scroll, and said, "It tasted sweet as honey in my mouth." And we all know the biblical reference to locusts, right? Yeah. Okay. I want to jump ahead here. In Exodus, locusts were sent by God to change the heart and mind of Pharaoh so that God's people would be set free. Nothing good happens when locusts show up. Locusts represent God's harsh judgment. John the Baptizer eats locusts whole. When we put these things together, we end up with this. The gospel writer Matthew describes John as a prophet who fills his mouth with divine judgments and finds it sweet. John the Baptizer isn't just a peculiar character. He's a powerful emissary of the full presence of God in the world. Everything about him should make people take notice. Now, knowing what you know about John, doesn't it make sense that he would get as hot as he does when the Pharisees and the Sadducees are seen coming down to the river to be baptized? John's invitation to be baptized builds itself as repentance from sin, which is a loaded doctrinal statement. Reality is so much more beautiful than that. Repentance, as we know, means to change course, to move away from one destination toward a new and better destination. Sin is a small word that covers a lot of ground. The nature of sin is anything that separates us from God. The Ten Commandments are a quick and convenient summary of the kinds of things that cause this separation, but more broadly speaking, any act of selfishness or greed or cruelty draws our attention away from our connectedness with God and onto things that are not of God. When John invites people to be baptized, he's inviting them to change the course from their intended destination and turn toward a new, better, more beautiful and life-giving destination. Using the cleansing waters of baptism as a starting point, he invites people to symbolically wash off whatever has soiled their relationship with God and start again. It's a great idea until the moment we get today. When John sees the Pharisees and the Sadducees coming down for baptism, he knows they're merely doing this for show. They have no genuine intention to change the lifestyle to which they've become accustomed. And why should they? The privileges they enjoy are hard to come by. Who wouldn't want the best seats in the temple to be greeted in the marketplaces to wear fine clothing? For the Pharisees and the Sadducees, conveying the depth of faith is more like a do as I say, not as I do, much more than is modeling for others a life fully immersed in the beauty of faith and relationship with God. This disconnect is deeply offensive to John. Now, I want to pick on the Pharisees and the Sadducees as though they're two-dimensional characters, because they're not. What's happening with them is important to us. Something is telling these Pharisees and Sadducees that they can get away with making a good show of repentance and renewal without having to do the actual inner work that produces those good fruits that John commands them to bear. It is a lot of this inner work that reestablishes the divine relationship that we have with God. For whatever purpose it serves them, the Pharisees and the Sadducees choose to put their faith in unhealthy habits and assumptions that prevent them from truly deepening their connection with God. Those inner narratives do little to move them forward in their relationship with God and with others, and honestly, within themselves. What John was trying to get at in his baptisms was just this: repentance of sin, turning away from that which gets between us and the peace of God which surpasses all understanding. That was his point. He's not angry with the people. He's angry at the narratives that have hijacked their faith. When John speaks of one more powerful than he coming with winnowing fork in hand and unquenchable fire at the ready, he's not talking about burning people. John isn't interested in burning people. He's interested in separating people from whatever habits and assumptions are damaging their relationship with God and causing suffering in the hearts of individuals in the community. chaff isn't about separating people from people, but gathering up the wheat in our hearts and burning off the chaff that pollutes our souls. Burning off some of these habits and assumptions could feel like being burned in an unquenchable fire. It's no wonder the Pharisees and the Sadducees resisted changing. So what does all this mean for us? Kindly consider how unhealthy habits and assumptions get between us and our relationship with God. If you could wash away whatever prevents you from claiming fully your identity as God's beloved child and live into the fullness of the truth and beauty of your faith, would you do it? Your relationship with God is unique to your lived experience, just like John the Baptizer. The look of your faith that you present to others may come across as peculiar. Trust me, I know. But if it's authentic, it will be life-giving and bear much good fruit. And that's the whole point of John's message. John the Baptizer may have used some greedy words and offensive imagery, but only if it's filtered through the chaff in our lives. When we open our hearts and minds to the way of true repentance, it's clear that John is actually getting some very good news to the people. Beloveds, let us all embody the unique blessings and character of our faith, the one that yields good fruit and brings us into an ever-deepening relationship with God. May we all be blessed with an unquenchable fire. That's the good news.